Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
So may God bless all of you. I would like to really encourage all of you to hear about what's going on in Asia and what God has shown me and taught me so many things in my trip to Thailand. In fact, I want to say that this is the time, is the season for Thailand to see revival. God is moving in the churches in Thailand very, very powerfully right now. It's not my work. It's not human work. It's God's work. And what happened, look back about almost 2 years ago when a couple in Thailand emailed me and said that they, both husband and wife, wanted to start a church from only a few people. Could you please help us? So I said, yes, we will help you. I remember before I flew to Bangkok, God told me this. You remember that in the book of Acts, the first church was started by the fire of God, by revival. The first church was not started by a committee, by a planning committee, by a great 10 years plan of a group of smart people. But the first church in the book of Acts in Jerusalem was birthed by the rushing mighty wind. And it was birthed by divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. So God said like this to me, you go to Bangkok and you preach about revival right away. Don't worry about other doctrines. That is a piece of cake. You can produce CD, you can send to them, they can listen about parenting, husband and wife, and that's why I produce a lot of CDs lately, in order to lay down foundation. Like we have CD about establishing lifestyle of prayer, about devotion, evangelism, soul winning, worship, all these things you can listen. But one of the most lacking and misunderstanding issue in the body of Christ, and is very rare, is the issue of revival and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit or the fire of God. And I say that, I sense in my spirit that in the end time like this, God really wants to bring that back to the body of Christ. Revival, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So when I went there, the first Sunday, the first meeting in a house about this size, I was preaching about revival. And I right away encouraged people to jump into the rivers of God and be touched by the fire of God. And I encouraged them to really hook up to the things of God, the fire of God. I encouraged the first group of people in that church to really welcome the touch of the Holy Spirit without compromise, without fear, without being ashamed of the presence of God. In fact, think about this. I will share about this tomorrow too. Pastor Mary May wants me to share about baptism with the Holy Spirit. So if we have enough time, we will go into theological teaching tomorrow more in detail. But think about this. In the Old Testament, the Jews wanted to know the Father without Jesus. And that problem dragged on into the New Testament book, the four gospel, that all the Jews rejected Jesus Christ. They wanted to know the Father, but they rejected Jesus. But now we are the Christian church. We are in the New Testament church, and Unfortunately and sadly, Christians all these thousands of years, you know, 2,000 years already, tried to know the Father and Jesus, but rejected the Holy Spirit. You remember Jesus say like this, if you are not ashamed of me, I will not be ashamed of you. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. I will not accept you in front of my Father. In fact, that statement in the church today is applied to the Holy Spirit. You know what? The Bible say the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. So if we are ashamed of the Holy Spirit, we are ashamed of Christ in a sense. Because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You know what I mean? It's the Spirit of God. So now we are living in the New Testament time that we should not be ashamed of the Spirit of God. You remember that when King David was ashamed to take the Ark of the Covenant because they carried the Ark of the Covenant on the cart in the wrong way. And the cart tripped and almost fell down. Somebody touched the cart and the ark, and that person dropped dead at that time. The reason that person dropped dead because two reasons. Number one, he touched the ark. Two, he should not touch the ark like that. And two, because they carried the ark in the wrong way. According to the Old Testament, you need to have two poles. Put the pole into the golden ring of the ark and carry the ark by people, not by the cow and the cart. In other words, the presence of God need to be carried by human being, not by the cow. So because that person died, King David was ashamed to take the ark back to his city, the city of David. And the ark, which represented the tangible, thick presence of God, was put in the house of Obed-Edom in the book of 2 Kings, something like that, 2 Kings chapter 6. Then what happened? If I'm wrong, we can look in the Bible later on. What happened? That house was blessed for 3 months. And David, King David, was heard about the blessing of that house. He was upset. Hey, this is for me, not for you. So what happened? He went and took the ark to him, to his city. So if you look throughout the Bible, you can see this is something that the church nowadays is missing. Listen carefully. 2 days ago, one of my patients came to me and said, you know, I told everyone I met that they should go to your church. I'm serious. This patient say, they should go to your church. Even though she lived so far away from our church, she lived about an hour and a half, so she could not come on a regular basis. But every time she can come to the Seattle, she would come to our church. And she told me that she went to a prophetic meeting in Seattle. And the preacher say, anyone in this room have touched heaven in a meeting. No hand was raised in that room. No Christian in that room who was seeking that the seminar, the teaching, the conference, have touched heaven in any meeting. And you know, Sherry, this patient, raised her hand up and I have touched heaven in Pastor Lau's church. So in other words, look from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. What make a big difference in the Garden of Eden? The difference of the Garden of Eden is not the nice tree with a lot of good fruit, but is the presence of God. God came down and walked with them and fellowship with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And because God was there, there was no sickness, there was no quarreling, there was no broken relationship, there was enough food, there was no curse, there was no bondage, there was no bad problem. Yes. And look throughout the the whole Bible. I'm going to share with you in a minute here that the key that the church need to bring people to is the presence of God. Amen. It's the tangible presence of God, and we must not be ashamed of the presence of God. Amen. We should not worry about people's opinion. Amen. We should be concerned about God's opinion more than human opinion. Amen. Amen. Okay. So when I went to Bangkok, I thought about the presence of God. I talked about the fire of God, the touch of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Boom. Everyone agreed. Every time I call people to be lay hand on, every time I start to ask God to come down, everyone came out. Everyone want to be touched by God. Revival happened. The church is growing so fast. So many miracles happened. I just got the letter yesterday from somebody that her mom has a gallbladder stone. Boom. Pray. The one x-ray show gallbladder stone. The next x-ray, the stone is gone. Then the daughter have a kidney stone, have pain. The husband go to the hospital, lay hand on her and say, fire, fire, fire. You know, because he believed in the fire of God now. Yes. She went, the first x-ray show, kidney stone, or whatever, that there's a proof of kidney stone. And then she went back to have another x-ray done, gone.
Hallelujah.
And the pain was gone. You know, and I went to Thailand so many times. When God start to move, demon come out from people. One last meeting, last trip, 1 7-year-old boy from Phuket was touched by God in every single meeting, laugh and laugh on the floor. He went back to his city, Phuket. He witnessed to three young people, I don't know, girl or boy, in the field. You know, in Thai, I think the same thing in your country too. In the field, there is a flagpole. He witnessed those three people accept Christ. Those three boy or girl accept Christ. He lay hand on them. They all fell under the power in front of the parents and the teacher. And then demon came out. He cast out demon, 7 years old. And he said, I do this because Holy Spirit taught me. Amen. You know, and oh, I got the email yesterday again. This boy brought another 2 persons and lay hand, and they all fell under the power again in the school. So now revival happened in Phuket. The house was packed with people. People came in, get set free. You know, demon came out from people. People really got set free. Business got better. Financial, people got financially blessed by God because they are not ashamed of the presence of God or the fire of God. Amen. You know, in Bangkok, the church grow. Every week, people get saved. In Nakhon Pathom, now they start the church in Ratburi. They start a care group in Ratburi. And people got saved again, and miracle happened. One lady have a pain in the ankle. The woman pastor, named Achan Lek, Pastor Lek, lay hand on her. She has pain for 2 years. Take all the medication. Right after that prayer, she went home. The pain was gone.
Hallelujah. Wow. Praise the Lord.
So it's a lot of miracle happened because they were not ashamed of the fire of God. Amen. I have story and story and story I tell you. Oh, there is another story I shared with Elmer last night, Brother Elmer, that what happened when I went last time, a group of Christians from a Lutheran church came to visit us in the revival meeting. And they were all got touched by God. Out of these, about 8 to 10 people, 2 of them are elder ladies in the church. They are ladies, but they are elder of the church. And that church does not have a pastor. So they are led by 4 elders, 2 single ladies and 2 single men. So these 2 ladies got touched, went back to tell the 2 men. One man came and got touched, but the senior man, the senior elder said, no, we don't want this. And he began to persecute them, these 10 people. They held a prayer meeting on November 19. While they have having a prayer meeting, one member walked to the senior elder and say, "Brother, Jesus said to you right now, give my church back to him. Give his church back to him." The man fell under the power without laying on of hand. No one lay hand on him. He fell under the power on the chair. And then his hand started to come up to his cheek and like this. So God kind of punished him very hard. And he repented. He could not move for hours. They had to drag him out of the room. And then all the whole that day, a lot of people fell under the power. Demon come out. And this is happening in the Lutheran church. And when he got up from the floor, he said, "I repented. I give this church back to Jesus." Amen. I believe that God is coming back to take his church back.
Amen.
God doesn't want a church just to have a nice service, singing a few songs, listen to a few message, and then go home. And no one know about God. No one really have relationship with Jesus. He wants to revive his church. He wants to bring his people back into relationship with him. And the only person that can do that is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, one thing that I never forgot when I encouraged Rivers of Life Church 1.5 years ago, God gave me a wisdom to say this to them. I remember I shared this one night, I think on Sunday night. I share like this. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see salvation, miracles, supernatural, and the move of God in your church, you need to help one another. You need to help your pastor. Because think this way. If you have a swimming pool in Arizona here, and you know that the water, I give you two analogy here, okay? So you understand. You see a swimming pool, you kind of feel hot, you want to swim. But you know that the first jump in there is going to be cold. You know, when you jump in the swimming pool in Arizona, it is cold because of the low humidity. So the water is cooler than normal. So if 10 people stand there, who is the owner of the house, let the whole family stand there, 10 people, with a couple guests. If the father jump in, but all the son and the mom and the son and everyone standing there and kind of like this, thinking, wondering, should I jump in because it's cold? Do you think the guest going to jump?
No.
The guest is not going to jump into that water because they even see that the owner of the house hesitate to go into the swimming pool, the water. But if everyone, when the father say, jump, all 10 people, including the kid, jump into the swimming pool, definitely the guest going to jump in too. This is the key. The main group of people in the church must understand about the fire of God, about revival, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we all agree to jump together, to hook up with the Holy Spirit. Because even if the two guests who are standing on the side of the swimming pool still hesitate. Yes. After you jump in, what happened? Because 10 people jump at the same time, what's going to happen to the water? The water going to splash.
Yes.
And the splash going to splash on the guest. The guest get wet.
Yes.
And they will think this way, I get wet anyway, I jump too.
Yes.
Because you get wet already. While you stand there, just go in and swim together.
Yes.
So that's the first analogy. The second analogy is this. Are you following me?
Yes.
I want to encourage all of you here that you must join together to jump into the river. The reason the guests hesitate and walk out, because they see that the member hesitate too. Even the leaders, even the leaders in the church are not wanting to go into the rivers of God. Why I go? You hesitate, I hesitate. I even worse than you because I don't even understand what you're doing. But if the whole church, that's what happened to Bangkok. I tell you, when I say, I'm going to lay hand on light now, bam, everyone run to the front. And you know what happened? The guests say, I go too. Actually, some guests kind of hesitate, sit there. Should I go? But at the end, they come out. I give you example three Sundays ago. When I start to lay hand, a French woman who has gone to a non-charismatic church in Paris, never saw speaking in tongue, never saw the move of God, was sitting there scared. But all the members come out, and eventually she said, I want to try. You know what? Because she saw everyone jump into the rivers of God. She came out. When I first lay hand on her, she was very uptight. But then I began to cast out demons, demon of religion. She began to cough and cry, and demon come out of her. She began to speak in tongue and fell under the power. She just emailed our friend, our member, that she went back to Paris, shared with everyone, and now she sat in her bedroom speaking in tongue every night. Amen. You see,
hallelujah.
She jumped in because our member jumped in.
Yeah.
She hesitated at the beginning. Amen. So another analogy is from the book of John, chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7, I read to you. I want to encourage you. We need to help each other to bring people. And I'm going to show you why God wants us to do this. I hope I have enough time if you don't fall asleep, because this is afternoon time. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 38. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You know, Holy Spirit is compared to water. You need to be thirsty for the Holy Spirit. Come to me and drink. And then he continued to say, he who believes in me, who believes in him, you and me, is that right? We are the believer. The Bible did not only say about pastor, any believer, as the scripture has said, out of his heart means his spirit, the spirit of God or the rivers of God or the anointing is living in your spirit. Maybe I have 30% compared to Jesus. Maybe Lee Ramos has 70% of what Jesus had. Jesus had the spirit without limit.
Yes.
Maybe Sister Floor has 80%. Whatever, we have different amount of anointing. Is that right?
Yes.
Different level of grace. Okay. The scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers. Many kinds of rivers. Rivers of healing, rivers of joy. In fact, this morning, Pastor Da witnessed. Did you hear this morning? I was sitting in my bed, waking up, and I began to memorize scripture. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, I memorized one sentence at a time. I promised God that from now on, I'm going to memorize scripture every single day. While I was memorizing the scripture, once I have a picture of what I was sitting in the upper room with them. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit, the river started to come out of me, and I began to laugh and get drunk. In the bedroom, your own bedroom, I got drunk and I laughed and laughed. You know, in other words, the Holy Spirit is inside here.
Yes.
You need to release.
Amen. Amen.
You know, so you stir up. That's why Apostle Paul say in the book of 2 Timothy, stir up the spirit inside you. So when I read the scripture, I start to stir up. Oh, I was sitting in the upper room like them. The fire of God came. So I began to get drunk. The spirit is like a rivers of joy. I laughed this morning. Rivers of healing, rivers of wisdom, rivers of power, rivers of knowledge, rivers of tongue, rivers of interpretation, rivers of preaching, rivers of teaching, rivers of evangelism, rivers of river with S. Many kinds of rivers. Is that right? Of living water. Now, the second analogy, I try to say this. If the more your guy have anointing or rivers, the thicker, the deeper, the rushing of that water in you, the more, the higher chance that that water or that river gonna flood into your building on Sunday. So if we depend only on RJ, he may have 50% of Jesus. But can you imagine? You understand the word corporate anointing.
Yeah, corporate.
If you all jump, you all stir up,
amen,
hook up,
hallelujah,
get hungry, get thirsty at the same time, you all, the rivers in you gonna flow out at the same time in that church building on Sunday. I tell you, non-believer gonna get saved. Not the sick gonna get healed. Demon gonna come out from people.
Yes.
But the key is this: you must agree together that you need a church that have the presence of God. That everyone who come to your church will touch the throne room of God. The presence of God gonna be there, like in the upper room. The presence of God gonna be there, like when John, the Apostle John, met Jesus in John chapter 1. The presence of God gonna be there like Isaiah chapter 6 when he was seeing the vision that he was standing in the throne room of God.
Hallelujah.
You want to bring people to the throne room of God. You don't want just to bring people to a nice meeting. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So if we all join together, how much river gonna be? Many rivers. Big rivers, big flood coming to the church.
Amen.
The flood of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And don't worry, I tell you, if you honor God, God will honor you.
Amen.
You may worry that maybe people come and get upset and leave. You know, they don't like your church because you move in the Holy Spirit. You welcome the fire of God. I tell you like this. Number one, there will be always two kinds of people in the world. Ishmael or Isaac.
Yes.
People of the carnality and people of the spirit. There will be always Esau and Jacob. The one who wants soup and the one who wants the first right.
Yes.
There will be always Abel and Cain. There will be always people of the spirit and of the flesh.
Yes.
If you are the church of the spirit, you're going to draw in members who love the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
I learned one thing.
Amen.
A few days ago, I don't have that email in front of you. My daughter emailed me a very interesting comment of one of the greatest preachers in America. What is his name? Yeah. Very famous.
T.D. Jake.
T.D. Jake say in this email, and my daughter forward to me. T.D. Jake say, let the title of the CD of the email say, let them go. Let them go.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So in other words, I tell you this. I have been a pastor for a long time. I learned this lesson. If they don't agree with you, they're never for you, they will never be for you for years. Either they leave now or they leave 10 years from now. And I learned that lesson in the past 25 years. If people love you, they are for you, they love you, they will be with you to death. But if they are not for you, they don't like you, they don't agree with you, they leave anyway. Let them go.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Because there will be people in this city that will love the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And will love this kind of church.
Amen.
And they will be for you.
Yes.
So don't worry. You know what? One day I have a chance to discuss this issue with a pastor in America from Austin, Texas. his son asked him this, that wow, you lay hand on people, people are scared and they leave the church. And the dad answered, this is a conversation in front of the son and me. The dad answered, you know, son, I know that this is very tough because you want people to stay with you.
Yes.
But, you know, if I don't lay hand in public, one day they come to our revival service. They see people fall anyway. People laugh and they leave anyway. If they don't like the move of God, they don't like the Holy Spirit, one day they're going to come and see it because you cannot hide the Holy Spirit for a long time. Eventually, they're going to leave. Let's be upfront from the first day. You like it, you stay. You don't like it, you go. Let them go. And I make a decision to do that in Bangkok. I make a decision to do that in Seattle. I tell you, I get more people. Look at Helen.
Yeah.
Your sister was in bad shape before she came to church. Sick, lost everything, lost her health, lost her, but if I was ashamed of the Holy Spirit, I did move in, did not move in the Holy Spirit, she came to church, I didn't lay hand on her, what would happen to her? She would be still in bondage. Is that right? But because the first Sunday she came in, she got touched because the rivers of God flow out of everyone in the church. She got touched by God that day. She cried. The second Sunday she came, I lay hand on her. She fell under the power. Her boyfriend or her fiancé now lay touched by God, went down, laughed and shake on the floor. Now they're on fire. They love to go to care group. I'd rather have that kind of member.
Yes.
Who love God and on fire for God.
Yes. Amen.
And I tell you right now, don't worry. I want to prophetically say to you, if you are not ashamed, I believe, if you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your church, God is going to send in somebody into your church who will be anointed to be an evangelist for your church.
Amen.
And that person is going to evangelize and bring a lot of people into your church.
Amen.
You just need one or two evangelists. Your church is going to explode.
Amen.
Right now, you don't have evangelists here. You all have different giftings. Some of you are do ministry of health, administration, preacher, pastor. But wait for the right time. If you are not ashamed, God can anoint somebody.
Amen.
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 Now, I want to say this. One day God really blew my mind with this fact. And I hope that you get this message. One day God, I need to kind of change the way I sit because my leg, you know, one day God spoke to me. He asked me this question. Son, what did I tell Moses to do when I commanded him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? In other words, the question is to come to me is this. What was the destination of the Israel, of the Hebrews, of the children of Israel? And most people raise hand and say, the destination is the promised land.
Mm.
No. The destination is not the promised land. The destination is the mountain of God, Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
You remember when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said like this in the book of Exodus, let my people go so that they can go to worship me in the wilderness. God never say, let my people go so they can go and have fun in the promised land. No. God say, let my people go so that they can come and meet me. You remember what happened to that mountain? The Bible say in Exodus chapter 20, 19 and 20 and 21, that at that mountain, the fire of God came. The thick presence of God came. The cloud of glory filled that mountain. Lightning. The mountain was shaken by the presence of God. You remember?
Yes.
If you go back to read Exodus chapter 19
yes.
and 20. And at that time, okay. So the purpose of God to take people out of Egypt or out of sin and the kingdom of darkness is not to just get blessed and to come to a church and have a nice service. The real purpose of God is that his people will come and meet him. Yes. Touch heaven. Touch by God. Filled by the Holy Ghost. Touch by the fire of God. And meet him. Meet the tangible presence of God. I tell you right now, hopefully people who listen to this CD will not get mad at me. Unfortunately, more churches miss this. They just get people into the church building and have a nice service for an hour and a half, 1 hour, listen to nice preaching. Everyone go home and now no one need God. The purpose is to bring people to meet God, not to listen to nice sermon. In fact, even Paul say like this, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want my member to know God through his power, not by my good preaching. That's why I love revival. I want people to meet God. I want people to really have encounter. I tell you, if you encounter with God again and again, your life will never be the same. Amen. I just share with Pastor Mary May and Sister King this morning that I have been a Christian for more than 25 years now. I have learned one thing with my own life and watching, observing the member and Christian around the world. I noticed that you can go to meetings and meetings and meetings and seminars and conference and conference and learn and learn and learn. You know all the Bible up here. I noticed that there is not a lot of changes inside. There are not a lot of changes. But only if you are touched by God. With the knowledge too. I don't mean that we should not know the Bible, okay? Don't interpret me wrong. You need to know the Bible. That's why I encourage you to listen to the CD, memorize the scripture, read the Bible. You need to know the word. But the real change will happen when you are touched by the Spirit of God. Amen. Pastor Da can witness how much I have been changed in the past few years because I have been in revival. Not because, and in fact, before that, I know a lot of Bible, but I never changed that much. I was still living the same way. That is in the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible say, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 say, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding mean looking, pay attention to, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Where is the glory of God in the church today? Very rare. When the Holy Spirit is moving, when God touch people, when the Holy Spirit, the fire of God come and touch people, the glory of God show up. What is the meaning of the glory? You know, the glory of cloud. The cloud of glory. The thick presence of God show up. You need to behold. You need to draw near to God. Get thirsty, get hungry, and go and meet the glory of God. Okay? You need to meet the real presence of God. And then what happened? So we are being, we all, at the first, the beginning of the sentence say, but we all, with unveiled face, mean we just open our eyes and I want to meet God. Okay? Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by sitting in many conferences and seminars and meeting and listening to 10,000 sermons? No. What the Bible say? Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, don't worry about numbers. In fact, the change that happened in the world today, Christianity, I'm talking about the kingdom of God, was started by only 120 people.
Not a lot. Not a big mega church. It's people who are going to impact the kingdom of impact the world for Jesus. It's not the crowd. But people who are hungry for God and sold out for God, like the upper room, 120 people. The Bible says more than 500 people saw Jesus came back to life. Is that right? That's what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But where are those more than 380 people? They're busy with their business. They don't want to offend their boss. They did not want to give up their own agenda. But only 120 people that were looking for the file of God. And they changed the world. Phuket right now have revival because of the two person, Pastor James and Pastor Jimmy. Pastor Jim. Bangkok, we have revival right now because only two person, Pastor Num and Pastor Ann. I told my congregation all the time, I just need one man or one woman in Tokyo. And they're going to see that Tokyo is shaken. Just one person who sold out for the file of God, for the move of God. That city is going to be shaken. But he or she need to have a congregation to support, eventually sold out to, so that the whole church can move together. So what I try to say is this, that God wants to bring his people to worship him and to meet his glory. Unfortunately, this is normal. I want to explain to you. There are always two kinds of people in the world. And don't feel offended. I have a lot of people walk in, see the move of God. They walk out and they never come back. And I say, bless you. You are not bad people. I love you. But if you don't want this, it's your own problem, not my problem. I'd rather stay in the move of God without sickness and disease, without curses and demon in my house, without poverty, without big problem with my kids, or taking drugs, taking tranquilizer, Valium and Xanax and Prozac, and seeing a lot of doctor. I'd rather stay in the move of God. You know, I tell you, most people who reject the move of God, they take Prozac, they go to see psychiatrist, they're depressed. I rather have the joy of God than to be depressed. Amen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I rather have the move of God than to have demon in my house.
Yes.
So is that problem not my problem? Amen. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says that the cloud of God, the glory of God came upon the mountain, and the mountain was shaken. And you know what happened? The Bible said the children of Israel saw and afraid and stood far away. I think Exodus chapter 20, verse 21 or something. Stood far away. Afraid. The Bible said afraid. What does it mean? They are afraid because anytime you come into the presence of God, you will be convicted of your sin. You have to change. You have to repent. You have to clean up your act.
Yes.
You need to live a holy life. There are a lot of convictions in the presence of God. That's why I tell you one of the reasons people run away, because they don't want to repent. They run away from the church with the presence of God. They want to still drink, smoke, quarrel, fighting, living in carnality. But who run to the presence of God in that book, Exodus chapter 20? Moses. The most humble man in that generation. My dear brothers and sisters, it's normal to find people who run away from the file of God or the presence of God, and people who run to the presence of God. I want to be like Moses.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. And believe me, if you all join together in one accord, in one place, in unity, don't be ashamed of the move of God. Don't be ashamed of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about the opinion of men.
Amen.
but you are there to please God, please the Holy Spirit. I believe that God gonna send in to your church many more people later on.
Amen.
who want the same thing.
Amen.
And your church gonna grow.
Amen.
And it's happening in Seattle right now. It's happening in Phuket right now. It's happening in River of Life in Bangkok right now. It's happening in Nakhon Pathom right now. It's going to happen because God will honor you. If you honor God, God will honor you. Don't worry about it. God knows what He is doing. He will bring people to your church. The finance in the church is going to get better. Everything. Your kids are going to grow up in the presence of God. Your kids will not get sick easily.
Amen.
Amen. They will not get a cold all the time because they grow up in the presence of God. They're going to love the presence of God. You know, the kids in our church love to come out to be prayed for under the power, and they even at home they lay on hand on each other and say fire, fire, fire. I love that. I rather have kids who love the fire of God than have kids who bore, see the church and get bored, get tired. You know, our kids love to go to church.
Amen.
Because they have fun to be in the presence of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
But the key is that we need to draw near to God. And we need to let the fire of God come and change us from glory to glory to glory to glory. You know, Jesus is not coming back to just any church. He's coming back to a pure bride, the holy bride. And I want to tell you right now, there is no way you can be holy without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Forget about it.
Amen.
You cannot be holy without the Holy Spirit. In fact, a few days ago, God spoke to me like this. It's interesting when He said that to me. I was really a little bit shocked and surprised. I was standing in my home, getting ready to go to work. He said like this to me. Son, do you know that? If my people try to be good by their own ability and goodness, they are practicing idolatry. If my people try to be good by their own ability, they are practicing idolatry. God told me this. You will never be good by yourself. You can know what is good and what is right. You can repent. You can yield. You can surrender. But you can be good or godly or holy or righteous only by the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside you. You get what I try to say? I stopped trying to be good by my own Pastor Lau's goodness. What I do is this. I repent every day. I agree with God every day. I live in the fear of God. It's an attitude. The fear of God is an attitude. I love what God loves. I hate what God hates. I agree with what God agrees with. And then I say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I am a glove and you are a hand. You just move me. You just tell me. I just surrender. I just yield to you. You know, in the revival meeting, why people fall down? Because of a few reasons. Number one, because God really touched them and they fall down. But there's another reason, because they yield. In fact, Pastor Jimmy in Phuket, who now brought revival to Phuket, never get touched like bam, fall down. She always fell because she yield. She told me.
Yes.
And she never have much manifestation, many manifestations. She just lay there and smile. But God anoint her. It's not about manifestation, it's about yielding.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So I just got a letter, I got an email. I'm not sure I forwarded to you. Pastor Newman, Pastor Ann emailed me 2 days ago. They say that we are the happiest pastor in the world. And before they end that sentence, they say that sentence at the end, They say that this is our dream church. Everyone love one another. No quarreling in the church. Everyone just helping each other, humble to serve. Everyone get involved. And they say, thank God for revival. Because members in my church are not walking in carnality. They all love one another, die to their flesh. They say sorry to each other easily. You know, I tell you, you have two choices. You just run the church normally. And everyone kind of still, me good, I can do this. I'm a good Christian. I have all the head knowledge. That's one choice. But you're going to see that a lot of carnality fighting each other in the church. But another way, people come out to be prayed for under the power, laugh, have a lot of, you know, another way, God, the fire of God comes and breaks them. Because when you laugh, you fall, you cry, it's a breaking of God. It's like God just break your flesh so that you will be a broken vessel to Him. So when God breaks you, the flesh is broken, then the spirit rise up. What happened? In the church, you don't have a lot of carnality. Things. You see what I mean? People will become humble, love one another, is so happy. Church, I mean, I witnessed with my own eyes in Rivers of Life in Bangkok. It's so happy, everyone smile, happy. In fact, lately a lot of people join them. One mom of a member there just left a big denomination. No. And then left and came and say, ooh, I have to move to this church. Everyone's so happy. Everyone love one another. And actually one very important leader of a church came to check us out. And she heard a lot of rumor and gossiping about me. She said, oh, people talk bad about you. They came and said, hey, your guy look normal. You're not like... And she come out to be prayed for like this. And I lay hand on her. She bam, fall under the power. She said, oh, it's real. It's real. Now, I know it's real. So I moved to your church. You know, it's just, look, God, believe me, God going to bring in people who love yes. God to your church.
Hallelujah.
Good people. Don't worry. You know, that one thing about God is this. I want to encourage all of you before I end this, sharing. God tested Abraham for 25 years before he had a baby, Isaac. Unfortunately, he took the fleshly way and he got Ishmael. He got out from the plan of God and he tried to do his own things. So, you know, husband and wife talk and got into their own plan. They got into trouble by getting Ishmael. God tested Joseph for, some people told me, about 14 years or longer before he became a prime minister of Egypt. Sometimes God tests us a time of wilderness, a time of looking like a failure, look like no fruit. He tested us to see that we're going to be faithful to the end or not. But believe me, if you don't give up, and if you just plug into the presence of God, don't be ashamed of His presence, and you are not pulling back, you just press in, I believe that your church is going to see that day of victory. Amen. Your church is going to be you're going to be a blessing to this city. Eventually, people who get sick are going to come to your church. People who have mental illness are going to come to your church and get prayed for by you. Amen. You're going to lay hand and people are going to get healed.
Amen.
Believe me, just plug into the supernatural right now. One day people in this city will not know you as an old prophetic church. They will know you as a church supernatural. Yes. The presence of God is there. You show up there, the presence of God is there.
Amen.
Yes. This is a time of test in the past few years. Don't be discouraged. Just press in. Keep plugging along. I want to encourage you one last thing here. When I went to Bangkok last time, I admitted that it was a very successful meeting. It was a very successful trip. A lot of people got touched. A lot of miracles happened. And I walked into the church building one evening. God told me this. Don't rejoice in this success. Okay, listen carefully. But rejoice because you have obeyed me. Listen one more time. Don't rejoice because you are successful. In other words, maybe if God gives you 100 members right now, you may be prideful and say, oh, look at me. But God smiled from heaven, smiling from heaven, not because you have a lot of members, but because you obey Him. God is not seeking for sacrifice. He's seeking for obedience.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Success in the eyes of God is not a big church, big amount of people. Then Jesus would be called a failure because on that day on the cross, he had no one. All gone. Everyone ran away. Success means all the days of your life, you have done the best to obey what God called you to do. That's all it counts. I tell you right now, when you stand before the throne room of God on the last day, God may put the thumb up to you and say, good and faithful servant, you obey me all these 20 years of your life until you die. But another pastor who come to the throne room have 50,000 members, God may say, all this time you never have relationship with me. You never obey me. You do your own stuff. You never listen to me. You have your own plan. I tell you, if you're going to build a church with human plan like a business, you can make a big church. Give thing out, have a nice program, latte table, good dinner. Oh, people will come. You can build a church that way, but are you obeying God? Are you following the Bible? Are you doing the heart of God? I want to do the heart of God. I don't want just to build a nice big congregation, but all the time I go to heaven one day and Jesus look at my face, son, you know, you're doing your own thing. You never listen to my spirit. No one there get healed. No one there get set free from demon. They just come for social. They just have a good time together as a social club. No one even have relationship with me. They don't know me. They just know about me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What kind of church you want to build? I'd rather build a church that people really know Jesus and really get set free and touched by God and really know God.
Yeah.
Amen. So I just want to encourage all of you. Let's all jump into the rivers together.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed of the presence of God.
Amen.
Let the water splash.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the rivers of God come out of you every Sunday. Help one another. It's not only Pastor Mary May going to do that. We all going to let the rivers of God flow and spill and splash. Amen. You remember Jesus say, the Bible say, He anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. I went to Bangkok. Last time I was standing behind the pulpit, suddenly one lady hooked up to the Holy Spirit. I haven't even preached. I stand there, look at her eyes. She began to get drunk and laugh. She just draw the anointing out of me. And then suddenly the whole room laughed because the anointing in that lady splashed out. The cup runs over. Is that right? So the water come out and on everyone, the whole room get drunk.
Yes.
I didn't do anything. It's because one lady willing to hook up the Holy Spirit and to start to let the Holy Spirit flow. We need to help each other.
Yes.
It's not only the pastor.
Amen.
Amen. So I pray that you understand more and know that what kind of church we are building. We are building the end time church. The church that welcome the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And I tell you, if you don't welcome the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be another church that walk in the flesh and in carnality.
Amen.
The answer is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Definitely, we preach the Word of God. Don't worry about it. We're preaching the Word of God. But we need the Holy Spirit 100%. Amen. Fullness of the Holy Spirit in the church. So, Amen. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we thank you so much for your word of encouragement given by the Holy Spirit this afternoon. We pray, Father, we will see revival in this city. Lord, in Gilbert area, in Phoenix area, Father, Arizona will see the glory of God. Father, we don't look down on the days of small things. Lord, you can use simple people like us here. Even though we may not look sophisticated and wise in the eyes of the world. Maybe even the world may think that we are foolish people. Oh Lord, but you use foolish people like us. But we are wise in your eyes because we are following your pattern, your will and your purpose and your, Father, your word and your Holy Spirit. We believe, Lord, that this church will really be a blessing to many lives and one day will send missionary to Philippines. Yes, we see revival in Philippines, in Korea, in other parts of the world, Father. Oh, Lord, bless this church, Lord. Use this church to shake the world one day, Father. Yes. Oh, help them to understand the things of the Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit that give life, Lord, to our mortal body. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.